Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people. Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a delight to talk to the great John Heyman. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, man, we're watching a huge trade take place yesterday and marveling at it. Who won? Who won the big trade?
You know, I think I'm going to surprise people and say Boston. I think they probably diminished their chance. Not probably. They diminished their chances to win the World Series this year by a little bit, but, I mean, they needed to move on. I mean, this obviously was not working out. He's a DH who's making over $30 million a year. So what can you get for him? I don't expect you could get that much. And, frankly, they got more than I would have expected under the circumstances where people knew that it was an untenable situation, at least long-term, and we didn't know it was going to get traded at this moment. But their offense is excellent. They have Anthony up now. They've got the three kids. At this moment, before he was traded, he was their, veteran leader, and that's not the guy you want to be your veteran leader. And to me, DH on the market at $30 million, I don't know that there are many takers for that. I think, San Francisco has had trouble getting guys there. We know all the history of all the guys they've tried for, from Stanton to Judge and all the others. And, now they got somebody without giving up too much, is their perspective. But I wouldn't trade for him.
So the Giants get Rafael Devers, Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison, James Tibbs, and Jose Bello go in return to the Red Sox. As you point out, they're getting rid of one of the best left-handed sluggers in baseball. Also, $254 million on that contract the Giants take over, which is remarkable. Does he play third base in San Francisco until Matt Chapman comes back? What's going on now?
Well, no. I mean, Chapman's going to be their third baseman. Obviously, he's one of the best third basemen in the game. I mean, they couldn't have found a team with a better third baseman other than San Francisco, probably, in baseball.
He's
already on the team with Bregman. Now you've got Chapman, who's probably the only guy better than Bregman, maybe Arenado, but I think he's probably the only one better. He's not the third baseman. I hope he tries to play first. They haven't done anything. He didn't want to play first for Boston because he was mad at them. I mean, you got to give it a shot, I think, right? I mean, right now you've got Dom Smith playing first. I mean, he can't really refuse with them. He just got there. So I think that's the best hope, is that he can play some first.
I got to tell you, I've got so many questions about this and so many observations, one of which is that the Cubs moved their outfielder to DH, and he just went along with it, and he's having maybe an all-star season with, say, a Suzuki. Why was Rafael Devers never really up to date on what they were doing? Did they not go to did they not let him know what they were doing? Is that why he reacted that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think the communication was not perfect, and you know, they obviously seemed to be very reluctant to give him the lowdown on what was going on, because when they got Bregman, I heard that he was going to be the third baseman, and they were publicly saying that he could play second and that he'd be very good at second. And I guess none of that's untrue, but, you know, I think in Devers' mind, that's the way it was going. And I do believe that they really weren't completely candid with him, and that's probably the issue that's really got this going. I mean, once they started looking at Arenado and word got out that they were looking to possibly trade for Arenado, I think the jig was up. But, you know, I mean, Devers was probably looking at best case and reading the tea leaves, and he just read them wrong. But they probably should have been more upfront with him. I think that would have helped. I to be fair, they did not handle this perfectly. But he's difficult. He's not Mookie Betts. He's not a guy who can play in multiple positions and be happy to do it. You know, he's not that guy.
So the Giants are better than people thought. So now what does this do to them in that division? And who do you see? How's this division going to go? I think the Dodgers are going to eventually pull away, but they haven't necessarily done that yet. You've got the Padres there. The Diamondbacks have been better of late, John. This is a very good division, and the Giants just got better.
They did, and I thought they were pretty good in spring training. I thought they'd be decent. You know, they're probably playing a little bit over what I expected, but, you know, they're not the Dodgers. Ohtani's coming back today now as a pitcher. So, you know, Snell, not that hurt, allegedly, and he's out, and he should come back. And Glass, now you don't know. But, I mean, to have 15 pitchers on the injured list and still be in first place by a couple games, I mean, this is the best team in baseball on paper, or should be. So I don't see them winning the division. They're certainly a playoff contender. I think that's fair. The Diamondbacks, as I heard you talk about earlier, not going to be a seller. They're going to stay in there because they have one of the two or three best offenses in baseball, and they're still winning some games despite all their pitching problems and Burns being out for the year. And certainly the Padres are really good too. So I don't think San Francisco can win the division. I think they'll get second, third, or fourth, but still, this obviously helps their playoff chances for this year. You know, I think they have a good chance to make the playoffs. Can they win that division? I really doubt it.
I was amazed to see how everyone has gone from that team that won it, whatever, 17, 18. There's nobody left. I mean, you traded Mookie Betts, for the love of God. It just feels different than the way things used to be with that team.
Yeah, you don't know if it's the ownership concentrating on his soccer team or what. You know, there had been rumors they were looking to try to get Mbappe, and, you know, I don't know much about soccer, but, yeah. I mean, he probably costs a lot more than Rafael Devers.
Bigger trade.
I guess there's another guy they're looking at now or trying to get, or just got, I don't know, but they certainly have not spent like you would think they should spend, considering their revenue. Where have we heard that before? But, you know, they've also made some curious moves. Betts was the guy to invest in. They didn't read the market correctly there. I mean, the Dodgers got a bargain on that. I think Betts, whether it's he loves L.A., he just got there, or maybe it was in the COVID situation where things were getting shut down, and he, you know, with a year to go, it's difficult to sign a free agent, as we know, with Tucker and all the other guys who've been a year away from free agency and teams have been hopeful. It generally doesn't happen, certainly not with a new team as Betts was. I think the COVID situation, maybe that helped the Dodgers get him signed, but they misread that market, and then they felt like they had to sign Devers, once they didn't sign Betts, well, they're not the same guy. You know, they're not even close to the same guy. One's the best right fielder in the game who can also play shortstop. The other is a malcontent, a great hitter. I grant you that, but is he better player, a better hitter than Mookie Betts? No. Mookie Betts is a much better player. They felt backed into a corner, and I think they felt backed into a corner once again. So they've made some missteps. Are they concentrating too much on soccer? Are they spending too much money on soccer? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. It's not been a great situation overall, but they do have great young players. They did develop and sign great young players, and they should be, I think, in the American League, a contender this year.
John, clearly the Dodgers know what they're doing. This is a championship organization. And Ohtani is pitching tonight, returning to the mound for the first time in a very long time after Tommy John surgery. Is that a good idea, given how lethal he is as an offensive weapon and how much he's performing at the plate? Is it a good idea to tinker with anything that's working, because everything is working right now for Ohtani?
Yeah, the timing of it, you know, I think he's probably chomping at the bit and probably telling them, I got to get on the mound, it's time to start pitching. And they obviously couldn't send him out on a rehab. They kind of need his offense, or like his offense. I don't know if they need anything. But, you know, I thought they would slow play it a little more than this. I'm figuring that he doesn't have a tremendous number of bullets and they needed him to work for them in the postseason. But I think they won't build up the innings too big. It's going to be an inning or two at the beginning, and that's it. You know, so I'm not going to question them that. As far as him pitching, yes. I mean, they make hundreds of millions of dollars annually on him as a two-way player. I mean, he's obviously a phenomenon, and I think we have to be realistic about this and not say, well, they won the World Series and he just hit and was the MVP and all that. I mean, the reality of it is, he is so valuable because he is the one guy who can be a great hitter and a great pitcher in baseball simultaneously in a century. So, you know, I think there is a business aspect to this as well, and I don't think they have any choice but to have him pitch as well.
He's supposed to go three innings tonight, and I guess the over-under on strikeouts is 1.5. I think the guy can get two strikeouts. Maybe well, I'm being optimistic.
I saw him in a couple of somehow I'm there for all of his simulated games. I was there in New York. I was there in L.A. I wouldn't want to go up. I mean, I would think so. He's throwing 97 miles an hour. He's got, 10 pitches, including a splitter. So, yeah, I'm taking the over. I don't bet, and I don't advise betting, yes, but I'm taking the over on that one.
Yeah. John, you know we tend to be myopic here in Chicago, so I have to ask you this. Based on the Devers blockbuster deal, does that mean that the big trades will start earlier this year than maybe in previous seasons? Because we all know, based on what Jed Hoyer told you on the podcast, well done, by the way, that the Cubs are in the market for an ace pitcher. So can they maybe get that started? Because they need him.
No, I don't think so. At some point, yes, but not going to be speeded up by Devers. He is the one known malcontent in baseball. Maybe there's some other malcontents behind the scenes, but this is a public one, and they felt pressure to get him out, apparently. So I don't think so. And right now, it's going to be a very big seller's market, meaning the sellers have the big advantage. And as we know, there are right now only four teams that you can name that will be sellers for sure. And it's going to take a while for this to sort itself out. You know, I mean, it changes all the time. I do think the Orioles will probably tend towards selling, which will be a positive for the market because they do have players. They are better than they have performed. It doesn't appear that the Diamondbacks would be now, but could the Cardinals? I mean, they're falling back a little bit now, and they certainly have free agent players as well. Diamondbacks, as I heard you guys talking about, would be a good one because Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen, potential aces. They haven't pitched that way this year, particularly Gallen, but they are potential aces. I think they would be great pickups for teams if they did sell. But at this moment, we basically have the White Sox, the Rockies, the Pirates, the Marlins. That's about it among the sellers. So I think it's going to take a while. I really do.
Maybe we should look at it a little differently. Who, in your opinion, is the most disgruntled pitcher in all of baseball?
disgruntled pitcher. Well, most people try to keep that to themselves if they're really disgruntled. And the ones that get traded are the free agents, so they can certainly keep themselves for another 4 months. So I don't know who is disgruntled. I will say this. You know, I'm not going to put a 0%. I do think Skeens, they've basically said no way, no how, no chance. So I'm going to say that's pretty close to zero. I wouldn't say it's zero for Freddie Peralta to be traded. I wouldn't say zero for Chris Sale, though they're signaling they're a buyer as of now, but they are 7 or 8 games under Atlanta. I wouldn't put zero on Jacob DeGrom, but that was probably pretty close to zero. So there are some names out there potentially that could be aces for teams that could potentially get traded. The most likely would be the Baltimore guys, Sagano and Eflin, at this moment. They are free agents, and I think they probably will be traded. But we're likely not going to see an ace traded. But it's worth dreaming to think about potentially. Chris Sale or Freddie Peralta being traded, although I don't think Peralta would get traded to the Cubs.
All right, John, as I mentioned, you had a good exchange with Jed Hoyer on the show with you and Joel Sherman, the podcast you guys do regularly. What was your biggest takeaway from that time spent with Jed?
Well, I mean, I guess the one that got to play was that he's going after pitching, but I don't think that surprised any of us, but I guess he hasn't really said that out loud and enunciated it. They're hitting, I think, is good enough. I mean, at least their position players, their defense is outstanding. They have the best run differential in baseball. They have a third best record in baseball. Very solid team. So, that's the thing that these teams normally look at is the pitching, and I'm not surprised by that. I thought they would have some thought about trying to get Tucker done during the summer, and he basically suggested that doesn't often happen, which to me means it's probably not happening, and he's probably going to be a free agent after the year. Whether they've tried already and it just didn't happen, I don't know that, but I heard that they were going to try, so it's very possible that they did try. So for me, that was a little bit of a surprise to it, that he kind of conceded that it's quite a long shot to get him done before he becomes a free agent.
John, the White Sox have played better. I wouldn't say they played well, but they played better. And they are, I think, 4-18 in games decided by one run. So that's not good. But but they are in games. I don't know if that matters.
Well, it's a step. I mean, from 41 wins, you got to take a step. Nobody thought they're going from 41 wins to 81 wins, right? So, I mean, they've taken a step. I think they're on the right track. For me, their issue is who are going to be the position players that are long-term guys on this team. Vargas has hit well this year. Caro has looked pretty good. Teal, they look like they're pretty good at catcher. But, I mean, there are a lot of positions on that field that we're kind of uncertain about. They seem to know what they're doing on the pitching front. I don't know if these pitchers that are doing pretty well for them, whether it be Smith or Martin, are long-term solutions either, but they seem to really have a better handle on the pitching end of things, and I feel confident, and I know they have prospects who are pitchers as well with Hagen and Smith and certainly with Noah Schultz. So I feel better about that, but they still got a way to go.
They moved him. Did you see that? They moved him to AAA. Yeah. And a guy wrote a story for Sports Mockery where he said that this is a terrible idea. He's not pitching as well as he did. And he got a tweet from Brian Bannister.
Directly
defending what they were doing and told him, like, it was incredibly transparent, but like just shockingly defensive too.
Yeah, you know, I'm like that on Twitter, too. I can't help myself. I can't. So I don't blame them. I get it. I've been told not to even look at the mentions. I think that's probably the best idea, not to look at it and certainly not to respond to, what was that, Sports Mockery? I giggled at the name, but I never even heard of it. So, I think the best advice is to not say anything, to keep it quiet and have confidence that you know what you're doing more than Sports Mockery.
Well, you got to check it out.
I think it's good advice, John. But it is a fascinating tweet.
Sox fan Mike wrote it.
I can't criticize him for doing it. And I get it, but it's probably better not to answer to even to Ken Rosenthal, but much less sports mockery.
Yeah. Great stuff, John.
You're the best, John.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, great talking to you.
You
see
too.
You next week.
Yeah, that is John Heyman. Great guy. That seriously, the story was pretty good.
Yeah, right? We should go over it when we come back. We'll go over the details of what he said.
Yeah.
We should also let people know, John Heyman is a national columnist, works for the New York Post and MLB Network, but he does a nice job of keeping us informed of what's going on
with
the White Sox
phenomenal.
And the Cubs when he gets information. And so he's an excellent teammate.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He really is.
He really helps us a ton.
Yeah.
So it's really well appreciated. All right. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
The interesting thing about Grant is when you look at how he pitches and his characteristics, he's very similar to a Tyler Glasnow. He's very similar to a Clase, to a Kenley Jansen, to I don't compare people to Mariano, but he has that kind of flexibility.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Brian Bannister. He is the White Sox pitching guru. He's the guy in charge. He's a guy that has a pretty good idea what he's doing with pitching. And we've been talking about it a little bit because there's a guy out there named Mike, Shy Sox Fan Mike is his byline at Sports Mockery. And I think the guy does a pretty good job. I think that...
That's not you, though, right?
No, alias. This is not me.
Because you are a Shy Sox fan, Mike.
I am also
known
a Mike.
Known as Mully.
But
also known as Muggs. Also known as whatever your alias.
I kind of worked for traditional media outlets, David, over the course of my career. This is untraditional. And frankly, some of the best Sox stuff that I read is from untraditional White Sox media members. It's from outside what we would normally expect, being whether it's the newspapers or the kind of aggregation places. There are also
It's a good way to describe it. Non-traditional outlets covering the White Sox.
Yes.
The way fans would maybe want and the way fans would cover the Sox. That's any disrespect, but
no.
But the newspapers in town are
not really working at it anymore.
The resources are limited.
Yes.
The Athletic doesn't even have a beat writer assigned to the White Sox
right.
that I'm aware of. And so, yeah, it's a good point.
I'm just saying that what's interesting is that they promote Noah Schultz, and Shy Sox fan Mike writes a thing in Sports Mockery, and I'm trying to remember the name of the guy that does Sports Mockery for the Bear. I think it's Eric Lambert. He does a great job. He does a great kind of – will do an aggregation of any story going on. It's very up-to-date. I mean, I like that stuff. But anyway – so Shy Sox Mike writes this, fan Mike writes this story where the headline is something like, are they doing Noah Schultz a disservice?
The White Sox might be doing Noah Schultz a disservice. That's the headline. It provides some context.
Yes.
It asks a question, and it wonders if promoting him to AAA is the best thing given what he referred to as a regression.
Yes.
But I do think it was defended, and I'm not quibbling with any of that stuff. I think we both were surprised, regardless of the context, because it was a very good story, that Brian Bannister, an executive in the White Sox organization, as smart of a guy as we have seen come through there in a while, took to Twitter, to X, to respond. And he responded to that with the quote tweet underneath, or just he tweeted in response.
He did, and it's like an excellent response, quite frankly.
Yeah, he has game logs of Noah Schultz.
Yes.
And then he says, over the last month, we challenged him to pitch without his normal cutter usage because even though it is a higher strike percentage pitch, it was making his biomechanics a little too linear, leading to less late seam effects and a more compressed overall K percentage, walk percentage ratio. Strikeout to walk ratio compared to 2024.
And he has the game logs. He included them in his response, and you know, and it's really pretty extraordinary because you don't normally.
It's the type of transparency you don't see in social media,
right?
It's a type of interaction you rarely see on social media, and this one man's opinion is the kind of interaction you probably would discourage on social media because it's not the kind of open dialogue you tend to welcome if you are an executive, because it tends to devolve into something more personal.
And I find it kind of fascinating that he chose to respond in the way that he did. And I mean, it just makes you wonder. I mean,
what does it make you wonder? What does it tell you about Brian Bannister, if anything?
Well, that he's sensitive to this.
Okay.
I should be careful. I don't want to say he's defensive about it, but I want to say that he has, you know, and again, I don't think Shy Sox fan Mike is a member of the media who's out there and talking to him, but he wants to clarify how he, in his opinion, it is not regression. And so he releases that information to him on Twitter. And I mean, it's just, you'd never read that sort of thing. It was really, I was really impressed that with the story that was written that garnered that sort of response. And it tells you that he's being careful about not ruining the number one left-handed pitching prospect in baseball.
I think it's tremendous that they have that much concern over the perception. And I think that they're taking that much care with the reality. I think they're concerned with both. I don't know that he needs to do all that, but I think it's good when he does. I don't want to criticize it. I think that if they are convinced that this is the right path with Noah Schultz, it'll be obvious sooner
right.
rather than later. And we'll see him in Chicago. That's what I want to know next.
Oh, I think he'll be in Chicago by the end of the year based on this kind of the fact that they've moved him as quickly. But it's fascinating because, you know, Grant Taylor, they took him out of a starting role, put him into, and we played the cut coming in, and now the guy is up here pitching for the big
club. He had some good moments over the weekends and not so good moments over the weekends.
It's all right.
He's going to be up and down, but he's going to be part of the solution, not the problem.
Right.
Same with Noah Schultz. And same with Hagen Smith. You know, the Arkansas lefty is going to be here, you know, it's not going to be a long stint in the minor leagues. I hope that Brian Bannister, we should try to have him on.
We should try to get him on. I'd love to hear him.
Because I imagine he has more context than just 240 characters. And he certainly has a lot to say. And he expresses himself very well. So I kind of welcome that. I think that when you see guys who aren't afraid to mix it up, it's refreshing. It's refreshing honesty. Speaking of refreshing honesty, other thing over the weekend was interesting. Our guy Flus, Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, was on a podcast with Ed Werder, and he responded to the idea of the image of Caleb Williams watching film alone.
The number one pick in the draft, quarterback Caleb Williams. And yet recently Caleb Williams was quoted criticizing the fact that nobody watched film with him last year. You're the head coach. How do you respond to that?
Well, first and foremost, Hard Knocks, they do a great job. They really do. They stay
good
out of the way.
Because they're going to be here this year.
They are. And I've been telling the whole staff up there that they do a wonderful job. They stay out of the way, very professional. But back to your other question about, you know, the film watching and all that, I would say this, that, you know, in the development of the quarterback position and really all positions, at my time at the Bears, we've always had daily coached film sessions. That was out through the entire year. So that's what I observed, and that's where it was.
I think he's basically saying Caleb Williams. Maybe that's not entirely accurate. He pushed back a little bit. Also good.
You know, look.
Also good.
I'm not
dwelling on it. I think it's interesting.
Let me ask something.
He responded.
He was asked a question. Is it in his benefit not to respond? Doesn't he have to say essentially?
Of course. But that's a missing part of the story.
I guess so.
Look, nobody hates rehashing last season more than I do. I think it's ridiculous to go back to the draft and go back to the season. But when Caleb says something that, you know, reflects and has made a big deal about whether or not he's watching film alone, and you get the response from the other side, it's fair to point it out.
But I mean, I think he said that to his father, who then told the reporter. I don't know.
Oh, man. Come on. If you're doing this story, you know there's a the guy we haven't heard from is Matt Eberflus.
I agree. But I don't know that I want to hear from Matt Eberflus, quite frankly.
He's going to be on Hard Knocks again.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
He's ready for his glow up.
Oh, good God.
He's got the beard still.
Yeah,
you know.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw a little snippet of the podcast.
Does he still have the Gatsby residence and the?
I think he does.
Does he have the bees?
I don't know about the bees.
The beekeeper.
I don't know about the bees.
He should be in a beekeeper.
Mind your own business. I'm sorry I brought up Flusie.
I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad to hear it.
I'm in the interest of balance here.
I'm just saying that personally, I am kind of done with Flusie.
You kind of recoiled when you heard his voice.
I did. I'm surprised.
It was like
an
allergic reaction.
You know, like how would you describe it? We have a saying called "ought always watch tape," and we do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just done with all of it. I'm done with it. Let's move forward.
An acronym for tape watching?
That's what I'm saying.
No, he did.
That's
didn't.
All he needs.
They had him a procedure, and they followed it. And Caleb, he just still talks in those clipped tones.
I need a procedure. I need like a prefrontal
all
lobotomy.
Right, well, we got that out of the way.
I know. No, I'm glad we played it. Yeah. You just asked me what I thought about
I'm
it,
glad.
And my response was... Anyway, all right, we've got we have Marshall Harris and Mark Grody.
Oh, it's Grody time. It's
Grody
time. And Layla
Rahimi.
All right, all three of them.
Boy,
that's fun.
Are we going to take our time telling that to us?
No, we got it right in time. Like right in time.
Looking like I'm not happy about it. All right. We'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw, The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.